Welcome to Emergency Contact. My name is Brian Russo. I'll be your host for the evening. With me is my co-host, Andy Fitch.
Hey, everybody. I am still not a doctor.
A lot of people are concerned about this. They think we're defrauding them. You know, if you see me walking down the street with a stethoscope, it's just my around town stethoscope. It's not a real one. I'm not a doctor.
Purely aesthetic.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of the rage.
I was thinking about it, like, I was like, what is a doctor? But then I realized it's a person who goes to school to learn medicine, and
they heal people exactly. And save lives.
And that is not me.
It's not us. It's just not our thing.
So
this podcast is people telling good stories about bad injuries. And today we're very excited. I'm very excited. I don't know about Andy. Okay. Our guest, one of my favorite performers in the New York comedy scene, Colin O'Brien.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi. You might know Colin from his sketch group, OSFUG. Great stuff.
Thank you.
How great is it?
It's my favorite sketch group.
All right.
I don't want to geek out on you, but
You said it's the last at the East Village
This Saturday is the last one we're doing at the East Village Theater, and then we're moving it to the Chelsea Theater.
Oh, so you're not like leaving UCB?
No. Okay. Not yet.
Oh,
no foreseeable end either.
Okay,
unless they tell us so, which I guess could happen.
The ball's in their court, is what you're saying.
You should check it out.
And also, brand new podcast, Literati.
Yeah. Michael Wolf, who's also an OSFUG, and I do Nancy, our comedy musical group with too. We have a fake author podcast where comedians read stories from their fake novels. Yeah.
So Colin has an interesting set of stories that he'd like to tell us.
Yeah.
So Colin, take us away.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say that I think this was like a good omen for the show today. I was at a cafe and there was a woman who came in with a cast on her hand, and the barista was like, what happened? She said she broke her hand. And he was like, how did that happen? She said she punched a chair. And then
a lazy boy.
And then
it was a real hard punch.
And then the barista said, had the chair fair. And she's like, not too well, which I thought was very funny. But I thought it was a good omen.
Right,
First thing in the morning, not for her, but first thing in the morning, I saw someone.
I'm not
going to
say
injury.
We did that, but yeah. I'll take the credit.
Put the energy out there.
You put the chair in her way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
When I was thinking of the set of stories I wanted to tell, I'd forgotten about this part of my childhood that I was kind of obsessed as a kid with getting hurt. Like, I wanted to have an injury or be injured in a way that would disable me because
for good?
Yeah. Oh, man. Because, and again, I was young, so it was like, I didn't really understand, but like, I was envious of the attention.
That's a common thing. Like,
yeah.
When your friend has a cast, you kind of want one too.
Exactly. It started with that. And like, so like, I would do things where I would try to see how long I could go, like walking around the house with my eyes closed.
Oh, I did that all the time.
Yeah.
I still do it.
Yeah. Just to, or like, yeah, even like now, like if the lights are off in your apartment, you have to get up in the middle of the night, you're like, I'm going to see if I can do it without the lights.
Oh, yeah. Challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
It's already dark, so.
Yeah.
But it's like you're memorizing where everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case you ever need to do it in the dark, for real.
If you went blind,
the lights, yeah,
you'd be good.
Yeah, or if there was a power outage, and you're like,
you
I
go.
Need to know I can survive.
I'm not going to pull my phone.
Yeah. And then, like, there was another time where I tried to see how much of the day I could, which obviously this doesn't make sense, because if you were paralyzed, you would have a wheelchair or something like that. But, like, I just crawling around on my arms.
like on your stomach?
On my stomach, like an army or navy crawl, like, for as much of the day as I could to see what I could, if I was ever, like, injured and paralyzed.
If you lost the use of your legs and you fell out of your wheelchair, if you could make it somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then, if there was a power outage, I would just, like, crawl around with my eyes closed on my stomach. No, I didn't. But the one I was really obsessed with was getting a concussion. Like, I really wanted to get one. And I think it was like...
We kind of have an obsession with concussions.
Yes. All about it.
I don't know exactly what where the obsession stemmed from, but I think it was like, as a kid, the idea of like, wait a minute, like someone can get hit in the head and they like just go to sleep for like, like how does that...
Like cartoon, like
yeah.
Pan on the forehead. Like,
yeah.
Little bump.
And maybe it was just because as kids, like, we have so much energy that we're like, I can't even imagine going to sleep now, like yeah. at night, at the end of the day. Like something could hit you in the head and
cause a brain
and just make your brain go to sleep for a bit. And that one specific, there was one, I was in the basement. We had a refrigerator and I like opened the refrigerator and a soda can just like fell and like rolled out and hit me in the head. And I was like, ow. And then like, I realized, like, oh, this is my chance. And then I just fell on the ground and pretended to be unconscious and hoped that someone would find me, and it didn't work. Like, eventually I was like, I'll just get up.
I'm just going to get up.
Yeah.
I'm not fooling anyone.
And then, like, walked back upstairs and was trying to, like...
Did you play it up?
Yeah. Like, my family was watching TV, and I, like, walked in. I was like, oh, man, I just had the worst concussion, like, downstairs. No one cared. I just thought of that like I had this obsession with being injured as a kid.
No, you never really followed through. You just wanted it.
I wanted it. And yeah, like I remember, it was like sort of the thing where you see someone in a cast and you're like, and everyone is like, let me sign it. And like, they seem like the most popular person for that moment.
Sure. It's an attention thing.
Like, yeah.
Like when a kid gets braces, you're like, oh, I want braces.
Yeah.
But then you realize like, that's the worst.
Yeah.
I wanted glasses for the longest time just because like other people had glasses.
I still kind of do. Yeah. I desperately wanted to have my appendix out because in kindergarten.
It sucks.
I bet.
Let you know.
But this is the kind of thing. I didn't realize it sucked. I just saw the attention somebody was getting.
Yeah.
And I was in kindergarten. We were eating lunch in the lunchroom, and a kid who had got his appendix out had just come back to school, and he was so weak. I remember super distinctly, he had on his tray, like, peas and grilled cheese, and he was trying to cut his grilled cheese in half with a plastic spoon. And all of the girls and in kindergarten, they're like, oh, let me help you, and he was just pitifully like tapping the spoon on the thing, and the girls were like pulling his stuff apart and feeding him, and I was like,
wow, I think that'll work today.
I'm eating my own food. Nobody's feeding me.
No one's cutting up my grilled cheese.
Yeah, I'm eating it whole like a jerk.
There was a kid in second grade who the first day of class when he came in, he I guess this has happened before, like he moved to town, but but as a kid I guess his arm had got caught in like a roller coaster and was like and it was cut off at the elbow, and
so
he got all he had
no arm
from the elbow down.
Wow,
so much attention. wanted it so bad. Not really piecing together. It's like, that means you have no arm.
Yeah.
Like, just throw soda cans at your arm. Maybe it'll work again.
Yeah, just drop it. I would also like try to jump from very high heights.
Okay.
As a kid,
test your limits.
Yeah, or like, yeah, test your limits sort of thing, which now I'm like afraid of heights.
Oh,
I think it's gone the other way.
So, and those attempts never led to you getting hurt?
Once we were in France at a chateau and I was bored because who cares?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to wait outside. And so the chateau had like leading up to the entry had like, you know, two sets of stairs that sort of met at a platform and then you could enter the chateau. And so I was just sitting on the platform at the top of these two sets of stairs where they met. And I was like, I'm gonna try to jump off this. And I jumped, and then like it was like my brain doesn't like know what happened, but like all of a sudden I was upside down and I was not falling. My shoelace had got caught on a nail.
Oh my gosh.
Like where my foot was. So when I jumped off, I sort of just like my shoelace got caught and I just sort of spun upside down. And there was like a second where I wasn't falling. And I was like, what the hell is happening? And then my shoelace broke and I like
head first?
head first, I put my hands out, and then it kind of like, I kind of rolled. Oddly enough, my thigh took my like right thigh took the majority of the.
Wow.
I don't know how, but it really hurt, but I was so embarrassed in front of like all these tourists.
So you weren't loving the attention that I got you?
No. I think that's when I realized that some injuries have like negative attention because it's like, you're being stupid and now you're hurt. And
this
you're
is
just
on
like,
you.
You're like, yeah. Whereas like maybe sometimes it would be all right if it's not your fault, but like when it's your fault, then people have less sympathy for you.
Yeah, sure.
No one was cutting my grilled cheese after that. So this, the injury that I sustained and that my siblings sustained was sort of like at this time as well. But my dad, my injury was my dad, I guess, had just taken off like the kettle on the stove. And so like had just taken it off on one of those like wire, like coil.
Electric.
Yeah. So, and he sat me on the counter next to the stove and I saw it was still glowing and I saw it and I just wanted to touch it. And so I like placed my hand on it and I burned my hand pretty bad. I don't know like what the degree burn.
What degree?
Yeah. But I burned it pretty bad and I had to get, I had to put like a, like I would put like gels and stuff on my hand, but then like as a protective thing, I wore a sock over my hand. But I wanted to like bedazzle it, and my mom helped me because I wanted to look like Michael Jackson when he had like the silver glove. Yeah. And so, which I think also comes back to the attention thing. Sure. Like it was,
it's like a lesser cast.
Yeah, it's a lesser cast. So it's like, I got to make up for like I have to put my own like harder things around it, like jewels or whatever it was.
But then you have like jelly inside, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a wet sock with sparkles on it, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't sound as glamorous when you put it that way, but yeah, it was sort of just a wet sock with sparkles on it.
Did your dad take responsibility for that?
He did. He like was like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have put the kit. Like he doesn't know yet not to touch. The bright orange, because also at the time, like I don't even know that I may have never seen it before because I might have been
your,
like, yeah,
you're
might
too
have been,
short.
Yeah. So I was just like, what is this gold? Like this glowing coil? Yeah. Like.
What is this magic?
Yeah, what is this? This is how you make drinks?
Now, that's something that people do when they accidentally hurt somebody is, like, they have kind of a defensiveness or an extreme, like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Like, or, hey, it's not my fault. Like, you're not hurt that bad.
I didn't put his hand on the...
Yeah. Like, preemptively, like, yeah. You're all going to, like, attack me. I know, and, exactly. Like, I just want to... So I'm just going to, like...
Clear the air.
Yeah, if I take your side on it, then it's just going to be everyone's ganging up on me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to... I'm not saying I'm not wrong, but I want to sort of, like... Yeah. I want to, like...
Let me just put this little preamble before...
Yeah.
So what happened to your... You said your brother's was before that?
Yeah, so my... Brother who's two years younger, it technically happened before my injury, but my dad was on the stairs and was like doing that thing where you throw the baby up and then catch the baby and then just miss the baby. The baby landed on his head.
Oh my God.
And so like my dad like freaked out for like to drop like a baby on his head. You're really not supposed to do that.
That's like I've heard one thing you're not supposed to do.
I mean, we're not doctors, but I've heard that. It's on a movie, I think.
Yeah. Word on the street is keep him off the ground.
Yeah, and
it's like the American flag. Don't let it touch the ground.
Exactly. Luckily he was also all right, but he had like a big bump, but he was all in all right. And then all in all,
were there like,
I guess you could, it's up to you to judge when like, you meet him, like
years later, he does something weird, like his voice changes for a minute and you're like,
sure.
It's always in the back of your mind. Like, is this when it comes out?
Yeah. Is he like functioning like at like his highest, like performance level? He has like PTSD moments of like where he thinks he's falling and he's not.
Like your dad like hugs him and holds him out and he's just like, oh my God.
And then my next brother, the middle sibling, my dad was doing the other thing where you swing kid around and pulled his arm out of his socket.
Oh man.
And this actually was very close in time to the chateau thing. I think it was on the same trip.
Oh wow.
First one was my fault jumping off jumping off a staircase. But yeah, so we were also like out of town. So like I think we were maybe in Luxembourg at the time, or so, I don't know. We were like out of town, so like they didn't really know where to take him.
Sure.
And they also for a while like didn't know that they had to take him somewhere. I think it was a few days later.
It's a thing where it's like my arm still hurts, and you're like, come on, like you're and then you find out, oh, it's like really swollen or bruised.
Like you can't walk it off anymore.
Can you? I've never had like my arm pulled out of like. Can you still move it when it's out of the socket? Or maybe I'm just thinking of cartoons when like it's pulled out and then it looks like jelly until it's popped back in.
It's like shattered glass. Yeah. In the bed. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. But I'm under the impression that you can still like move your hand. Like you probably won't have full range of motion.
Gotcha. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think your brain is still connected to like all the stuff that it's not makes like the things work.
Unplugging it.
Yeah.
It varies from like limb to limb, I think. Because like sometimes I know like...
All right, Dr. Andy.
I've been going to night school. Like when you break your nose, like they just snap it back into place sometimes.
Yeah, but that's not an appendage you can move.
Well, I'm saying like in general...
A nose is not a limb.
Okay, like a finger or something like that. Like,
yeah.
There's sometimes where the doctor just knows the right way to like push it back up.
Well, that's how they fix all...
we're going to edit all this.
I like the idea of, it's not like unplugging your arm. So like, sort of like if you do unplug your arm from the socket, like you got like 3 hours of life before
it just runs
out. It just sort of runs out of battery, and then you just got to plug the arm back in.
Well, it's like when the plug is like only half in there, so you're getting like a little bit of electricity.
Yeah, you got a little bit of charge.
So was that all the
So that was all the siblings. So there's two more siblings that have not
felt the not wrath of dad.
Yeah. The accidental wrath of dad. The accidental wrath of a kind man. But like, you know, it could happen. Yeah, it just takes one crash or something.
You can still get there.
Yeah, you can still get there.
Car crash, like two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Just throw them both in the back seat.
He accidentally backs into them or something.
Yeah.
It'd have to be something gentle.
Yeah.
Now, when you brought this up, it made me think about times that we've accidentally hurt people.
Yeah. In middle school gym class, I should preface this by saying the person that this injury happened to, the person I accidentally hurt, he did pass away a couple of years ago in a car accident, which is terrible because he was a good person and a good friend. You'll hear how great of a person he was at the end of this injury. So we were in middle school gym class and we were playing badminton, which in our high school and middle school was just like a blow off. Thing.
Like a free for all.
They told you how to play it the first day and then you had a unit of it for like 6 weeks. And you can only get so much enjoyment out of badminton. No offense to people who really like it, but like
a solid 10 minutes.
Playing inside a gym in the middle of winter when you don't really want to, you can only do so much.
I'm going to say offense to people who enjoy badminton.
Fuck your shuttlecock. So at a certain point, you know, a couple of weeks in, we started trying to make the game a little more extreme because it's a very posh tennis type activity. And we kind of developed our own rules where we would play 2-on-2 and you had to hit the shuttlecock as hard as you could and as far out of the range as another person as possible. So it would force the other person on the other side to have to dive or make some kind of spectacular hit to get it back over the net.
Like the skin squeak on the gym floor, like the worst.
Really selling it. And one day it was myself and this guy, Joe, playing on one side and...
Was it Kyle?
Kyle and his cousin, Brian, not this Brian, were playing on the other side. And we're playing this game and we're just hitting it as far as we can. And of course, the gym teacher's not paying attention to us. I had hit the shuttlecock over to the other side and... they hit it back really quickly, and Joe kind of dove in front of it, hit it, and fell backwards, kind of like onto his butt. And they hit it back like just as fast, and reacting as fast as I could, I took the racket in my hands like an axe, and I did like an axe swing over my head. And just as I was doing that, Joe, not knowing that they had already hit the shuttlecock back over the net, stood right up into where I was hitting. And I hit the shuttlecock over the net, but
the follow through,
the racket hit the top of his head, like right where your hair, like the back of the neck. So okay. His head kind of went into his shoulders, and he fell to the ground. And we all started laughing super hard because it's a little flimsy racket, and we're like, oh, he's not that hurt. And he was kind of a jokester, and he was just laying on the ground with his eyes open looking at the ceiling. And we all thought, like, we were all laughing because it had just happened. And after, like, a minute to a minute and a half of laughing and noticing Joe wasn't moving, we were like, come on, Joe, get up. Joe, come on. Joe, and his eyes just no blinking, just staring at the ceiling. And we're like, okay, he's not joking anymore. The next thing I remember was the gym class was like done. Everyone was lined up on the other side of the gym. Girls were crying.
Joe was a very popular guy.
He was very popular.
You just became the most unpopular guy.
Yeah. I was just devastated. You know that feeling?
Cheerleaders just staring daggers at
me. Oh my God. As if like... I had enough trouble to begin with. Like, they're all lined up on the side. Girls were crying. The guys were like, what the hell happened? Oh, my God. And the principal had come into the gym and was, like, talking to me. And I was probably crying because I didn't know the severity of this. And this all happened a couple years post Columbine, but pre-9/11. So our school had just sort of implemented an emergency response plan.
And this was like the first...
This was the first time they ever had to use it. And all the teachers were kind of freaking out because they never had to like snap into like, okay, we have to... There's going to be an ambulance coming. Like, we got to make sure the hallways are clear and like everybody's safe. And for whatever reason, I didn't leave school that day. I don't remember anything else about it, but I remember calling Joe later on that night and just, you know, the entire day just thinking like, I killed him. I killed a friend of mine with a badminton racket. And... I called him and I was like, Joe, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, dude, it was awesome. I got to ride in an ambulance. They gave me all this stuff. He was just like psyched that he got to go in an ambulance and go to the hospital.
It's that coveted concussion.
He got the best, not that like he wasn't getting attention before, but like, you know, when you come back to school, you're like
a hero.
It's like the king returning after a conquest.
Cheese.
Oh, they were, he never had to feed himself again. So like, I still like, harbored a ton of guilt about that, but I don't think I've played badminton since then.
Maybe at like a graduation party.
But I wasn't going as hard as I normally do.
Oh, of course.
It's something racket sports I stay away from for the most part now.
Yeah. That reminded me of did you say that was middle school?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in middle school, there were like, I remember hearing there were kids who went to like a mini golf course and someone like, swung the mini golf like was
back.
Pretending to like, you know, do it as a driver like on a real golf course and hit a friend in the face right behind him, and it like knocked out like most of his teeth, like I wasn't there, but like the way someone described it to me, it said that it split his lip like above the lip, so it like his lip was like hanging from a thread is said. Which I didn't see it, but the idea of like your lip, the top lip hanging from a thread. Because like afterwards, like you'd see the stitch, severe stitches that he had. Like you're just like, oh my God, like that was hanging off your face.
It's hard to imagine because a lip isn't a thing that you ever picture not being attached in the face.
Yeah. Like, and I imagine that like that the person who like did the, like, because like until you hit the person, it's like, oh, this is just a sit. Like, oh, can you imagine if we were like on a real golf course?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it has serious consequences. And you're why did I do that?
Yeah, it's that thing of like, if I just waited like a second, he would have been out of the way. Or like, you replay it in your head what I could have done differently.
I was like, I knew like I fucked up, but I wanted people to know that I didn't do it. The emergency response thing was that, like, they'd never had to have, like, EMTs come in and everything like that. And that was the first time they implemented it. And I kind of justified it years later by being like,
I'm the reason that...
I'm the reason that, like, this saved lives. Me giving Joe a concussion saved lives in the future.
That was, like, their test run.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, they worked all the kinks out on that one, and then, like, you know, from there on out,
to this day, I justify it that way.
All right. So I have a story that it's very stupid. So my brother got a BB gun, and... So I was probably like 11, and I don't know how he got his hands on this, but he did. And
wasn't it like a gift from parents?
Oh,
like an uncle?
No. My mother wouldn't let us play with squirt guns. She wouldn't let us have G.I. Joe toys that had guns. She was super anti-gun. We would play with cap guns that we like took from our friends or something. Like, well, not took, but like we would play, or like violent video games or something like that, where it's like Doom. We would play at our friend's house because we were so like starved from like,
yeah,
and not that I was like, I want guns. It's like,
well, when you're told you can't have
something,
you just wanted that
much
more.
It's like when your parents say you can't have a concussion, you just want
it. I just want it so bad.
So my brother had this BB gun, it's like a little black pistol BB gun, spring loaded. And I was in the basement just like watching TV with my little sister, and she was probably like 9, and just like fucking around, like shooting various things in the basement, like knocking over a Pepsi can or something like that.
Were these metal BBs?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like a BB.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know if it was
like
a
plastic. No,
like...
no, this is metal. So, you know, me being this intelligent 11-year-old points the BB gun at my little sister, and she's like a kid, but she's like, don't do that. You could shoot me. And this is like the after-school special part where I go, oh, don't worry, the safety's on. See? And I pull the trigger. Oh, the BB hits her right here. It's the, I mean, no one can see this, but it's the bony part of your, like, in between your nose and your eye. It's like the corner of your eye socket.
Just above the bridge of the nose, as close to the eye as you can
get. Yeah, it's like fractions of a millimeter away from her eyeball. And this is a metal... BB.
And from point blank range.
Well, this wasn't point blank. It was probably like 6 or 7 feet away.
Okay.
But, you know, so
that's still close.
Pretty good shot. But,
no, family never brings that up when they tell this story.
Yeah, right? I was like, come on, give me some credit.
Yeah. I said, I'm sorry, but I mean, like, come on, that was a good shot. For credit, someone who was never allowed to have a gun?
Yeah.
Credit like, where credit's due.
Yeah. So, you know, immediately I just like throw this to the side. I'm like, oh my God, are you right? And she's grabbing her eye. So I think like I just blew out her eye. She's like blind for life. Thankfully, it did not hit her eye, but she had like this big mark right there that like it had bruised the bone under it. And she never told my mom,
wow.
Which like, cause like I'm very not proud of this, but I was immediately like, don't tell mom.
Oh, no.
Because it was my brother's, and I'm like, if
mom doesn't know?
She knows now.
Oh, she does.
So it not only gets you in trouble, it gets your brother in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, he had this hidden from my mom, and my brother wasn't like a cruel brother,
like,
but
don't tell mom, you don't know how high up this goes.
There's a lot of moving parts.
You're going to set off a chain reaction.
Yeah, it was this thing of like, immediately I was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And like, when I saw her eye wasn't like blown open, I was like, don't tell mom. This is Matt's. He's going to get in trouble. He's going
to
like,
you don't know the right time to bring
me.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm immediately in damage control for myself. And she, I don't know why, didn't tell my mom until she was like, I don't know, 24 and decided to tell my mom this. And I don't know what her reaction was, but now Stephanie, my little sister, brings this up constantly. Like, this is like her one guilt thing that she hangs over me. It's like, remember that time you almost shot my eye out with a BB gun and I told you to not point the gun at me and you did anyway? I thought the safety was on. Because, like, I don't know how safeties work. I just, like, knew there was a button on it.
You heard it in a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also, like, when you're a kid, there's, like, this weird, like, I want to see what happens sort of.
Yeah.
Like, because you telling that reminded me, like, my brother was riding his bike. And I wanted to just see what would happen if I threw like a stick through it. And so I just did, which like now it's like, why would you don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that to someone.
All right. I mean, if you could give any advice to young kids that are listening to this podcast, what would it be?
I think it would be, don't like maybe don't go out of your way to get hurt, but like, you know, don't go out of your way. Cause yeah. I mean, like, think of all the attention you'll get.
Yeah, have some life experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go crazy.
Well, cause that was the other thing too, is that, I think where this obsession started with was that, like, my dad told the story of when he was a kid, he was driving a golf cart and they went like over a hill and my dad's flipped and it like landed on his ankle and it broke like a growth plate.
Ooh,
where like one leg is shorter than the other. And I think I remember as a kid just like thinking that it was a cool story. And he would tell it a lot to like different people. And it was like.
Does your dad want to be on the podcast?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Actually, he lives in New York if you want to get him on the podcast.
That's what the podcast is about.
Yeah, yeah. He has a better story than mine.
Stories.
But yeah, I think there was like, that's where it started at a young age. I noticed that like, you know, it's like, wow, like people like this story.
Yeah. Well, it's like when people tell stories about scars and it's like, oh, I want a cool scar from like a knife fight or something. It's like, no, I just. You know, have an appendix scar. That's it.
You want to play a game?
Yeah, sure. Colin, you want to play a game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's play some games.
We're going to play.
It's just one game.
It's just one game.
I only wanted to play one game anyway.
It's game.
Perfect. It's game.
Are you game for game?
I'm game for game.
All right.
This game is Sport Blooper.
Let's hear the theme song to Sport Blooper.
We never have a song. We'll just plug something in later.
We'll put some weird song in later.
So that was the theme song to Sport Blooper.
Maybe like Huey Lewis and the News sports.
The whole album? The theme song is the whole album? this episode is like is an hour long. 40 minutes is the album sports.
So the way Sport Blooper works, I've got three little bits of trivia here. This version is about Major League Baseball players because the baseball season just started. I thought it'd be semi-topical. This might not come out until way later, but
had no idea.
At the moment of recording, it was just opening weekend.
Yeah, this is gonna come out like a month later.
So I'm gonna give you a little backstory about a Major League Baseball player and give you two options of the injury that they sustained.
Okay.
One of them is real. One of them is fake.
And on the line today.
Oh yes.
The prize, if you will. 10 big ones.
Ooh.
10 big ones on the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do I have to do to win?
You get them.
Two out of three? Or if you get the first two.
You can double
or nothing.
20 big ones.
For 20 big ones.
And or no big ones at all.
Well,
if it's double
nothing.
Or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing is no big ones.
Yeah.
And no one has won these games yet. So
okay.
There's a lot riding on this.
Yeah.
You would be the first.
So maybe. Pride is the biggest one of all.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
So between the two injuries that I give you, one of them is real, one of them is fake. You have to tell me which one was the actual injury that the player sustained.
Okay.
Okay. First up is Greg Harris. He was a 15-year Major League Baseball pitcher. He played for 8 teams. He had a record of 74-90 with a 3.69 ERA. He did pitch 5.5 innings in the World Series in 1984 for the Padres, but he's probably better remembered for injuring his wrist while flicking sunflower seeds in the dugout or getting a sprained ankle sustained while participating in an egg relay at a charity event.
I'm going to say the egg relay at a charity event.
Ah, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He injured his wrist flicking sunflower seeds in the dugout. Kept him out of a couple of games.
Does it say like what happened to his wrist?
No, I didn't. It doesn't. Oh. Like, I'm guessing it was along the lines of a sprain, but
he flicks sunflower seeds hard.
He's flicking them pretty hard.
Maybe he's a pitcher. He's gotta keep himself warm.
I think
up.
That would be like
90 miles an hour.
Like that, wouldn't you be kind of embarrassed if you're a pitcher and that happened to you?
Aren't you supposed to spit sunflower seed like
shells? I mean, you got to do something to pass the time in the bullpen. I guess
so.
Anyway, yeah. Next up, Tom Glavine, a pretty famous Major League Baseball pitcher, probably the most consistent pitcher of his era. He had 305 games that he won in a 22-year career, but not everything great came out of his career. And that was proven when He missed two games after being temporarily blinded when his eyes came in contact with juice from a banana pepper. Or he broke a rib vomiting up airplane food on a team flight back in 1992.
I'm going to say the second one, vomiting up food.
Yes,
you're correct.
He did break a rib.
We got one on the board.
All right.
You're still in the game. You're still in the game.
You could still get those 10 big ones.
So this is for the 10 big ones right here.
The final one. Former Major League Baseball player Kevin Mitchell. He was a very outstanding outfielder. He was the 1989 National League MVP. Did he get injured after trying to thaw out a frozen donut in a microwave? Broke his tooth when he bit into it? Or did he bite into his tongue eating spaghetti at the grand opening of the Olive Garden that was opened in Candlestick Park?
Can I just ask, are the fake injuries, have you found like injuries like from like that are actual injuries for other people? Or
no,
how are you, the
fake ones I just made up.
Real? These are good. Good made up ones.
We had a big discussion before you got here of like how weird we had to get with
no,
stuff.
I just want to, before I answer and either get the 10 big ones or not get the 10 big ones, I want to just commend you on your fake ones because...
Well, Andy is...
Thank you.
Andy's the game master of this, as we described in the last episode.
The master of the games, if you will.
So
breaking his tooth
on
while
a donut
trying to bite a donut he thought in a microwave or... biting his tongue, eating spaghetti at the grand opening of an Olive Garden that was put in at Candlestick Park.
I'm going to go donut.
Yes! You are the first winner.
Oh,
the first
winner.
Here are your 10 big ones.
Oh, great.
Don't spend
They're
them
all. They're his fingers. I'm high-fiving them.
So, wow. This is a big moment for our podcast. We have our first winner.
We're going to etch your name on that gold plate. It's going to go right above the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have for Colin's episode. Thank you for being
here. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of good stories.
No one got hurt.
No one got hurt. Yeah. I mean, yet.
Yeah, not
once,
yet.
There's once still the time. Recording stops, all bets are off. we have our first winner here. This is a big moment.
Let it be known.
Feeling good.
The first winner
is Colin O'Brien, and boy, what a winner he was. Would you like to plug anything, Colin?
OSFUG will be 8 p.m. every third Monday at UCB Chelsea.
So all you New Yorkers, come out to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then May 27th, if you want to come to Michael and I have a second book-themed show at Strand Books called Page Masters.
Nice.
If you want to check that out.
Nice. So as much as we enjoy... talking about injuries.
We don't like getting them, and we don't want you to get hurt either.
So stay safe out there.
Stay safe out there, guys.
Stay safe, everyone.
Cue Huey Lewis.
We're going to have to end on that now. New York is everything they say, and don't face that I'd rather